What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, a shout out to our guy Steve on Twitter. 25 books read in 2025 for our guy Steve. He said 30 is the goal for 2026, so good stuff there. That whole conversation, I was trying to push off the fact that I am a very lazy reader myself when it comes to books. I mean, obviously, I'll read articles and such as it pertains to work, but I have been reading, speaking of movies and books going together, I have been reading Friday Night Lights for what feels like 2 years, because I'll read like a good chunk of it, get some good momentum going, and then just stop for months. Either life gets busy or whatever. That's one of those things I have to try to push myself on as well in 2026, because, I mean, that's my favorite football movie. I like a lot of what I've read from the book so far, but that's another good example, Dom, of a book that is a whole lot different than what the movie portrays, what Hollywood portrays sometimes. I'm an idiot. I guess kind of the me not reading thing backs that up. But I'm an idiot. I'm not afraid to admit when I'm an idiot. I'm not afraid to admit when I'm wrong. I know some in this town are a little bit allergic to doing that. I'm going to be wrong a million times. That's just part of the job. Kind of like a baseball batting average. Our job isn't to be correct every single time. It's to be entertaining. And based on the numbers that I've seen for the past 12 months and more, I'd say that most of us here are doing a pretty good job of that, not to mention the Marconi that we have on our mantle for the year. All of that being said, I am an idiot for believing in the Pittsburgh Steelers against a bad football team with a crappy rookie QB. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I am in for Adam and Doran until 10. Dom DiTommaso is behind the glass. He is in for Nicholas Harry Callis. I believe his last day, at least this week, filling in for our guy Harry Callis. By the way, a quick birthday shout out to him. Yesterday, I believe it was, I hopped on Facebook. I told Harry happy birthday. The time is 6:06. It is time to make that smart call to Buell Insurance, 724-443-5610. Social media tried to tell me Saturday night, and I did not want to listen. After that Ravens game went final, and we all watched on Peacock, if you had that, you had to have about seven different services to consume NFL Week 17 action. But you may have watched that game between the Ravens and the Packers Saturday night, and you watch Derrick Henry do his thing. 200 plus yards, four touchdowns, just an all-time performance for an all-time running back. And if you hopped on social media, if you hopped on Twitter, all you saw was, well, there we go. The script is in. The Steelers are going to lose tomorrow. It will all come down to Week 18. The consensus from Steelers fans was that they would go to Cleveland and they would absolutely lose the game. And I tried to talk myself out of it. I tried really hard. I picked the Steelers to win on Sunday. I got the feeling of, all right, I think people are overreacting here. I still think, independent of what happened in Green Bay tonight, that the Steelers tomorrow will go into Cleveland. They will take care of business. Maybe it's too close for comfort, but they will get the job done. We don't have to worry a ton about it. That was not the case. I was wrong. All of those on social media, all of those on the text line or the YouTube chat or wherever you consumed that told yourself, yeah, the Steelers are going to lose the game. My own fiance, Saturday night, we are at my parents' house in Delaware. I go into our room. I tell her that the Ravens won the game. First thing she says, Dom, the Browns are going to win tomorrow. And again, I'm thinking, nah, they'll take care of business. I mean, come on. The Browns are 3-12. I know this is their Super Bowl, but really the only thing that they are playing for besides pride is for their best player to achieve an all-time single-season record. They have a crappy rookie QB who didn't really change my opinion of him with how he played on Sunday, because even the pass that went for a touchdown was just a god-awful throw that was hauled in by Harold Fannin, who he, as a rookie, has been impressive, the Browns tight end. But somehow the Steelers could not make a play on that. He made a couple of throws that were impressive, but that was about it. Two interceptions, two pretty bad ones. The one to Kyle Duggar was awful. But still, my feeling going into the game on Sunday, doing pregame coverage with Cabali, with Hathorn, and Jeff will join us in the next hour, my feeling was, all right, everybody out there is saying that they're going to lose this game. It is the consensus that Pittsburgh is not going to beat Cleveland. Whether you are throwing out the, well, look at Tomlin's history, look at the fact that they have actually struggled in Cleveland in recent years, or you want to go with the real conspiracy theory route, well, all of these games are fixed anyway. The NFL script is out there, and the league wants it to come down to week 18. Whatever reason you were using, you were proven correct. And I was proven wrong. And I felt like an idiot after the game. They got me again. They got me again. 3 wins in a row. I'm thinking, you know what? This team's playing pretty good football. I know those 3 wins came against teams that aren't in the playoffs. But still, you win 3 games in the manner that they won. They won a tough game in Baltimore. They dominated a Dolphins team that at the time was red hot. They went into Detroit, and yes, that team is not going to the postseason, and since then has laid an egg in Minnesota. But at the time, they go in and they are taking on a team that is, by a lot of the numbers, still one of the best teams in football offensively. They shut down that running back tandem. They hold Jahmyr Gibbs, who is one of the single most electric players in football, to 2 yards. They win that football game in chaotic fashion. But what mattered is they were winning. They were actually stacking wins. And then it came to a position where, hey, all they need to do, you take care of your business, you win the game in Cleveland, it doesn't matter in week 18. Don't worry about what the Ravens do against the Packers. Yeah, since that game's standalone and in prime time, you can certainly scoreboard watch. You can hate watch. I was watching and rooting hard for the Packers, which, by the way, Malik Willis looked awesome. That guy had one of the best quarterback performances across the league in week 17. But you watch that game, you see the Ravens win. Okay, all the Steelers have to do is win the game in Cleveland, and they could not do it. They could not do it. They got me again, man. again. 3 wins in a row. I'm thinking, okay, they're going into this game. Yeah, they haven't won without Big Ben in Cleveland in quite some time. Tomlin has never done it. We'll get to that more a little bit later. But they get to a game in which all they have to do is win. And you think for the first time since Big Ben was their QB, they have a guy that will push all of that noise to the side. Aaron Rodgers is somebody who can cut through all of the nonsense going on. DK Metcalf not playing. Calvin Austin not playing. TJ Watt still out. You think they still have the advantage at QB that is strong enough mentally and really physically. He still throws a much better ball than Shedeur Sanders. That they can win this game. And they couldn't do it. They scored 6 points. And pretty much everybody was bad. I gave out my game balls yesterday. There was one Steeler that I probably did slight. I thought Alex Highsmith played a hell of a game. 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, 4 quarterback hits. He was all over the place. He had to be. He was somebody who probably deserved a game ball from the Steelers side of things. But it was just the Browns' day. They played for their Super Bowl. And maybe the Steelers were a little bit too focused on one individual player reaching a milestone. Maybe that had to do with that game going south. But regardless, they lost. And now they have set themselves up for a winner-take-all in the AFC North in Week 18. And I get the feeling that not many people have a lot of confidence in a victory. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. You can hit that number on the fan text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. But I want to hear from you coming up next. Let's get some calls on this. You call, Dom will get your info. We will get you on the air. 412-928-9370. How do you feel about the Steelers right now? December 30th, 2025. Do you trust them to win the game Sunday night? Do you want them to win the game Sunday night? Because there are certainly going to be people from the negative side of this that say, ah, screw it. I just hope they lose at this point. 412-928-9370. Are you rooting for a loss or do you want that division title? 412-928-9370. Want to get some calls on this coming up next. Right here on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
You can follow us on Twitter or X. I'm still too used to calling it Twitter at 93.7 The Fan. You can watch the show there now, too. You can watch all of the shows there at 93.7 The Fan. That is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Donnie Football in for the guys this morning. Dom DiTommaso is behind the glass, and we are taking your calls on the Steelers. because I'm an idiot. I fell for it. I thought that Sunday would be different. I thought they would get their job done, clinch the AFC North, not have to worry about Week 18, rest some of their starters, some of the veterans, have guys active at QB like Mason Rudolph and Will Howard, and have a game against the Ravens not mean anything. That would have been nice. Yeah, the stakes are high. It's good for the NFL. It's good for other fans that the game is now Sunday night. The winner takes the AFC North. The loser goes home. But it probably won't be fun for us. It certainly won't be stress-free. How do you feel about it? 412-928-9370. Our guy Anthony in Oakland will kick us off. What's going on, Anthony?
Happy New Year to you.
Thanks, Anthony.
You and your new and your fiance.
Thank you.
You know what? I like you. I was apprehensive, but I had the Aaron Rodgers effect. I said Aaron Rodgers was going to be the common denominator, was going to push this team over the line, and then all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers morphed into Mitch Trubisky Sunday. He was horrible, and then when you rewatch the film, you see you say that he can't be a 20-year vet, because on that last series alone, he never manipulated the defense. He stayed stationary of where he was going, and he talked about Gainwell as being such a great wide receiver. Well, if you would have looked off MVS, Gainwell was wide open for a walk-in touchdown. So these are things that can't be hidden anymore. I don't know what happened between what happened, you know, after watching Green Bay go down in flames, but something happened to them because that game was in their hip pocket and they let it get away.
Anthony, before I let you go, I am actually, as silly as it sounds, as ridiculous as it sounds, I'm going to get into this more a little bit later about what their game plan was against Myles Garrett. It really did feel to me like they were too worried about that guy breaking the record against them, and Aaron Rodgers was too worried about that guy getting the all-time single-season sack record against him more than they were winning the game. Like, I understand, you know, going away from a guy, trying to take him out of a football game. Normally, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Anthony, I feel like when you take out a team's best player, you're going to score more than 6 points.
Here's what bothered me. Drake May wasn't concerned about Myles Garrett when he got sacked 5 times. You know what Drake May was concerned about? Winning the game. That's why they blew the Cleveland Browns out. That's what the focus should have been. Now, if there was any other selfish motivation, then they're right in the DK Metcalf camp, who the week before showed us something about being selfish. So if they lose Sunday, which I think they will, unfortunately, they'll have no one to blame but themselves. Thanks, Donnie, and be safe for the new year.
Yeah, thanks, Anthony. I hope you have a great new year as well. I mean, I have to agree with you. It's selfishness that could end up hurting them in the end in more ways than one. You bring up the Metcalf situation, but something that I will get into later, and maybe I'm just drinking too much Kool-Aid on it, and everybody who covers the team, they want to get out in front of this and say, no, 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 don't be ridiculous. They were just taking Myles Garrett out of the game. When you take out a team's best defensive player, you are going to score more than 6 points. One other team scored as little as 6 points against this Browns defense this year, Dom. Are you aware of who it was?
No, I don't think I am.
It was the Miami Dolphins when they were at the breaking point of their season. Everything for them kind of flipped after that game. They went to Cleveland, similar weather, you know, crappy in the 40s or 50s, rainy. They lost that game 31-6. But it's not as if the Browns just shut down every team. I understand they have a good defense. Jim Schwartz has done a really good job with that unit for as bad as the Browns are overall, they do have a good defense. They have given up 30-plus points five times. They gave up 41 to the Ravens, 34 to the Lions, 32 to the Patriots, 31 to the Titans. The Titans scored 31 points on the Cleveland Browns. The Tennessee Titans. The Bears put up 31 on the Cleveland Browns. The New York Jets put up 27 points on the Cleveland Browns. The Steelers, the first time around. Yeah, they took Myles Garrett out of the game. And it worked. They scored 23 points. They shut them down. They won 23-9. It was, you know, not a perfect day for the Steelers offensively. But that's what it should look like. That's what that game should have looked like on Sunday. And it didn't. They played scared. And then they lost. 412-928-9370. We will take more of your calls in just a few minutes. Hop on the fan hotline. That is brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. More of your calls on the Steelers coming up next. Jeff Hathorn in 30 minutes time right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Morning Show, Donnie Football with you until 10. Adam and Doran are off. Dom DiTomaso is behind the glass filling in for Nicholas Harry Callis, who celebrated a birthday yesterday. And man, I like to see this. You pull up that call screen and you see that baby loaded up. 412-928-9370. Thoughts on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do you think they will win on Sunday night? Do you even want them to win on Sunday night? Because I know there are plenty of people out there that are kind of rooting for them to lose. They want to see this baby crash and burn. Listen, they got to the magic number. They got to 9 wins. That might be their Super Bowl at this point. 412-928-9370. Jeff is in Latrobe. What's up, Jeff?
Donnie, you are selling yourself to become a believer. It's, and I'm almost 70, so I've seen them for years. I don't think they're going to win. I can't root against them. I don't want them to crash. But since you both are into reading this next year, try reading Brian Toohey, The Fix Is In. I texted the station weeks ago, and I predicted this very thing would happen, that the league wanted the drama to rekindle the Ravens-Steelers, Week 18, take it all. Gambling. It's gambling. It's bread and circuses. I love the show. Come over to the dark side and accept the reality that it's orchestrated drama.
Jeff, I appreciate the call. Always nice to talk to somebody out from around my neck of the woods. Dom, where do you come down on that? I know the guys had that conversation yesterday afternoon. I was listening on the drive home from my parents. I know a couple of callers hopped in on the, yeah, this is all fixed. The NFL is fixed. They wanted this to happen. I can't really bring myself to that.
No, like, that is.
I don't think the game Sunday was called with the intention of, hey, you know, we're going to call, I can't even remember who the referee was on the game. But I don't think the intention was like the league was going to call down to John Hussey and say, hey, you make sure everything goes in favor of Cleveland because we want that big Sunday night football matchup.
Yeah, I mean, I thought there should have been pass interference on the last play of the game, and were there a couple other iffy calls? Sure. But anybody who thinks that this game is rigged is a moron. And I hate to say it, and Jeff, you sound like a smart guy, but I mean, come on, people. I get that we're mad that the Steelers lost, and now we got a winner-go-home game on Sunday. The game wasn't rigged, and by the way, NBC made the wrong call picking Steelers-Ravens for Sunday Night Football anyway. So who knows if that was even going to be the primetime game, for God's sake. So anyone saying it's rigged, it's a stupid argument. I wish it was rigged, to be honest, because it's better than the Steelers sucking the way they did. But come on now.
Plus, I think if it was rigged, that would benefit the Steelers, because then you would have one of the, I mean, they are without question one of the most popular teams, maybe the most popular team in the NFL, like worldwide. You would think if things were rigged, they would have more than zero playoff wins in the last 8 years. Did you want it to be Seattle, San Francisco, Sunday Night Football?
Yes, that would have been my number one choice, just because it's for the division and it's for the one seed.
Yes,
and I also now I would also would say Panthers Buccaneers, but now that the Falcons won and that's all up in the air, I guess that's kind of out of the equation because it's not technically for the division. But Seahawks, 49ers, that should have been the last game of the regular season.
That would have been my vote too. I wonder. And I actually know a guy or two that will sometimes work on the Sunday Night Football crew, and was kind of going back and forth with him on Sunday, asking him, you know, what they were feeling for that Week 18 Sunday night game. And he did say it came down to three spots, and we all knew it would be those three spots. I had actually forgotten after the Steeler game. I forgot about the possibility of San Fran and Seattle being for the one seed. We knew that Pittsburgh and Baltimore would be one of those games. We knew that the way things broke down on Sunday, that Tampa Bay and Carolina could be one of those games, and then San Fran, Seattle. And those were the three games that got thrown out there. And I guess the trade-off was, as long as ESPN gets both of the other games of intrigue for Saturday, they will throw the other game. It really seemed like it came down to, based on the conversation I was having, it didn't seem like NBC was really interested at all in the Carolina-Tampa Bay game. It seemed like the whole time it was going to either be San Francisco and Seattle or Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I think just selfishly, I was rooting for Saturday night. Thought that would have been nice. You can just kind of take in all the games on Sunday. You only have to worry about the Steelers on Saturday. You have that 4 o'clock game, but whatever. I was rooting for that, but they didn't want to go back to San Francisco 2 weeks in a row. That may have been something else that played a factor. 412-928-9370. Evan is on the fan. What's up, Evan?
Hey, morning, Donnie. Thanks for taking the call.
Yep, what's up, man?
Wanted to make, you know, an all-around point. I just, whenever you have fans calling about the bread and circus of it, it's changing my topic, but that part drives me insane. You're excusing the ineptitude of the team. I mean, and Dom, you touched on that too. The way that they performed on Sunday is abysmal. Aaron Rodgers was totally worried about Myles Garrett the entirety of the game. The moment DK threw a punch, I knew we weren't making the playoffs. The only way that it was rigged is because Tomlin signed an extension. They were destined for 9-8. They're destined to miss the playoffs. They're destined to have a first-round loss if they do. So the point of the entirety of the call prior makes me infuriated because it excuses the last 10 years of ineptitude. The further we get away from the leadership and regime that was instilled in the Steelers, the more you see there is not a leader at the top. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, Evan, I appreciate the call. And be safe out there if you are on the roads. Hopefully they get those things cleaned up in a little bit here this morning. I also want to note that if things play out how they are after Week 17, if the Steelers do win on Sunday night, as of right now, their opponent in the first round would be the Houston Texans. I really don't want any part of that Houston defense. Now, do I like their chances against the Texans more than the Bills? Yes, because I do think Josh Allen is going to be a man on a mission in the postseason. But I would really want that matchup to be Steelers-Texans or Steelers-Chargers, and I don't even know if all of those possibilities can work themselves out. But what we do know is that the Steelers have to take care of their business on Sunday night. Nobody else will have to do the dirty work. It has to be Pittsburgh that gets the job done. 412-928-9370. More of your calls coming up next. Jeff Hathorn joins the show in about 15 minutes. 15 minutes. Trey Essex joins the show at 8 o'clock. 412-928-9370 is the number to join. Fan Morning Show right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Fifty-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. Taking your calls on the Steelers. Do you have faith they can get the job done Sunday night? Will they win their first division title since 2020? Will we get to witness our first Steelers playoff game with fans in the stands since 2017? Technically January of 2018, but the 2017 season. That loss against the Jags was the last home game that had a capacity crowd in the playoffs for the Steelers. That's how long ago it's been. That's when the streak began. That was the second year of what has now turned into an 8-year drought. That's when it got to them stacking losses. They lost that game in New England, the AFC Championship, in the 2016 season. And then they were off and running. They have not won a playoff game since beating the Chiefs in a field goal fest way back in January of 2017. We are coming up on 9 years if they don't do it this year. 412-928-9370. Jeff Hathorn joins us in a few minutes, but want to take a few more calls on this. Greg in Youngstown, always bringing the heat. What's up, Greg?
Hey, not much. Let me hit on 3 points really quick. We have the worst kickoff returners in the league. The Cleveland Browns have the worst special teams. I've watched every game. They've given up like 3-4 touchdowns on special teams, and we got two slow guys returning kickoffs. That's number one. Number two, everybody says how great the Browns' defense is. They had a linebacker playing on one leg, and they have Devin Bush, and their best middle linebacker is out for the year. So I don't want to hear it how great their defense is. And number three, that was blatant interference in that end zone. Now, there's an eye in the sky. You would think they have, again, fans are allowed to see the games fixed when you see that play. I mean, they have to get all the referees together and say, what do you think? Everybody knows that was interference. That's blatant interference. And everybody just brushes that off. That's why people say the game's fixed. I mean, and you can't blame people on that play.
Yeah, Greg, I get what you're saying there, and I take all of your points. When it comes to the interference on the last play, I guess where I come down on that stuff is, I really try to not blame the officials for a game's outcome. There are very, very, very few times where you can point to that and say that one call made by the officials directly impacted how a game finished, what the result was. I think the easy example for us in Pittsburgh is the Jesse James play. That game against the Patriots. That's an example of that. Number two, when that happens, yeah, probably interference. Would be very easy for the official to throw the flag. But my other thought is, I'm not going to be the person that bitches and moans about it because it should have never came down to that play. It should have never gotten to that point in the game. And again, the Steelers let that happen. 412-928-9370. Brian is on the turnpike. Now he's on the fan. What's up, Brian?
How's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Yep, what's up, man?
I was just thinking, you asked about, I don't think the Steelers are going to pull it off Sunday. I think they're too hurt, you know, and it's an interdivision game. Those teams might not be real good. I mean, Cleveland and that. But when they play each other, it's a completely different atmosphere for them. They play up. They, you know, they play hard. They should have beat Cleveland easy, but they didn't. But you guys were talking about Aaron Rodgers and his performance on Sunday. And, yeah, he made some mistakes. But my question is, how many passes were dropped by receivers on Sunday? I'm not sure. I watched the game, but I don't have the total in my head. It seemed like there was an awful lot of passes dropped, so I don't think you can really lay it in his hands that they didn't score more points. And the other thing is, in general, for the Steelers looking for the future, you know, when Chuck Noll was there, yeah, he had his, you know, obviously won the four Super Bowls, and then he had some down years, but, you know, he rebuilt the team when Cowher took it over. And obviously there was an instant impact. And when Cowher, you know, he had to rebuild the team in the middle of his tenure and, you know, obviously come back and won a Super Bowl in 2005. I don't get that same feeling now. I don't feel like we're really rebuilding. So I just leave you with that and Merry Christmas. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate the call. Hope you have a great new year as well. To your point about the drops from receivers and not putting a lot of it in the hands of Aaron Rodgers, listen, you're going to get a couple of drops every game. Aaron Rodgers stunk on Sunday. And if you don't think so, you are just not looking at what happened in that game objectively. He was not good. He played one of his worst games as a Steeler. I thought he played afraid of Myles Garrett specifically. I mean, Dom, you're one of the biggest Aaron Rodgers fans out there. You could not come away from that game thinking that Aaron Rodgers played well. I know that you feel like there have been games over the course of the season where maybe he hasn't gotten enough love for his performances, but you cannot have watched that game Sunday thinking, well, Aaron Rodgers did all he could. He played great. They just happened to lose.
Well, now, hold on. I agree he didn't play well, and if you look at the numbers scream that he sucked. He played fine in the first half. He really did. They weren't letting him throw the ball that much because they were afraid of Myles Garrett sacking him, so there were a lot of checkdowns, a lot of swings, a lot of throwaways. Second half wasn't great, but let's also be honest here. The last drive of the game, money pushed to the middle of the table, this is do or die. He went 80 yards down the field and had a fourth and goal and threw a pass that I thought there was interference on. So
yeah, he threw three passes to his best buddy MVS in that spot.
Well, he didn't have a wide receiver one. His wide receiver one punched a fan last week and missed the game.
They should probably throw it to the guy that wears number 88 more often, because it seems like when they do, good things normally happen. He's somebody I circle, by the way, Pat Freiermuth. He's going to go somewhere that runs a modern offense, and he is going to become a great player. Like, imagine if he was in Chicago with your boy Caleb Williams. Imagine if he replaced Travis Kelce in Kansas City. Just a couple of examples. What if he played for your boy Joe Burrow? He'd be a great player. I got no doubt about that.
Sure, I completely agree.
Okay, so Rodgers had he was good up on that last drive, really.
Yes, he was.
Until it got to them scoring a touchdown. That was it. He was not good in the game Sunday. He even said so himself, which I do appreciate when players take accountability. I mean, I also think that he has more power at the line of scrimmage than most of the quarterbacks have had in the last few years.
Do you think Shador played better?
I think they were both at about the same level, but that should speak volumes. I think Sanders is not good. His one touchdown pass was up in the air for about 15 minutes, and his tight end had to play it like he was in center field. And I mean, I think all the credit there goes to Harold Fannin. I did not think Sanders played a good game. He had a few decent throws, a few nice throws.
I thought he at least outplayed Shador, so he was the best quarterback in the game.
Well,
for what it's worth.
Yeah, that's not saying much for what the game was like on Sunday. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Windy, cloudy, high of 25 today. Maybe some snow tomorrow evening with a high of 29 on New Year's Eve. Jeff Hathorn, 93.7 The Fan, joins us coming up next. It's the Fan Morning Show.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.